Hello, podcast listeners. This is Dr. Fred Rivera from the Firearm Injury and Policy Research Program at the University of Washington. We have two terrific guests today to talk about their latest research on looking at community violence interventions. Could you introduce yourself, Dr. Jones?
Yes, Christian Jones. I'm an assistant professor going into my fourth year in the School of Social Work at the University of Washington, and I'm also a member of the Firearm Policy and Research Program at UW.
Yeah, thanks for having us. My name is Meron. I am a research manager with the FIBRIP team as well.
I know there's been a lot of recent work on community violence interventions. These have become pretty popular around the country. Question always arises is about the best ways to evaluate these programs. Can you tell us your approach that you're pursuing with this research?
I think a big part of our work has been very intentional in trying to make it as community-led as possible. As researchers, we do know like the methodologies, the research tools, but the real expertise lies within the community themselves and those at the front line with the community in the field of CVI. And those are typically community-based organizations. So we've partnered with a few community-based organizations. We've collaborated a lot with them from the get. So starting from the research design itself or the evaluation design, all the way into data collection, which is where we're currently at, and also planning to involve them in the analysis dissemination portion of the project as well. And so collaborating with community has really given us great insight, I think, into the effective ways evaluations could be done and the ways that we can display the true impact that these organizations are making. And some examples of that from our work is that have come up are the use of asset-based measures. And asset-based measures are typically just positive measures, things like looking at job securement or supportive relationships within a community. And that's something that community members have really vocalized wanting to measure, and looking at those measures versus deficit-based measures, which are negative measures typically, such as gun arrest and homicide rates. And looking at those has really given us kind of the entire picture of the progress that these organizations are making and are true to their stories.
Collaborating with community orgs is incredible, but it can be difficult at times because of harms that have been done to community orgs historically. Collaborating with academics or researchers who could be not very community focused and not giving a lot back to the community when they take from the community. So it makes it a lot harder for people who come and want to do good work, but organizations understandably so can be a bit hesitant to warm up. So that time that it takes to build those necessary relationships and connections can take a while to do really good work. And I will also add that this can be a bit difficult in terms of just because homicide rates, for example, might go up, doesn't mean that a community organization isn't effective and isn't doing an amazing job. As we all know, gun violence can be incredibly complicated. There's a lot of structural factors outside of these organizations' control. So just figuring out creative ways to measure that specific organization's impact despite everything that a community might be up against is really important to acknowledge as well.
What kinds of community organizations are you working with?
We work with a bunch of organizations, primarily in King County, but have the pleasure of working with organizations all across the state. And the cool thing is that they provide a lot of different services, and they approach reducing firearm violence, preventing firearm violence in a variety of different ways. So, for example, a program might do that through providing mentorship and connecting young people who may be I have mixed feelings about the terms at risk, but who might be at a higher rate of exposure of being involved in community violence, where someone else might focus on job training and connecting with schools and connecting people with resources, where someone else might be focused on case management. So it really just varies in terms of the scope of the organization, even though they all have the same goal. The way they go about it can be drastically different depending on the needs of their specific community.
And how does this approach differ from the approaches used in the past?
That's a really great question. We're currently working on a scoping review that is looking at evaluations from almost the past 10 plus years across the U.S. to see how it's been done. And so what we've seen from that process thus far is that lots of times community members are not included, and if they are included, it's on recruitments, which, you know, makes sense. But they don't typically involve them in the research design or the data collection analysis pieces, or really just curating how the evaluation will work. Another part is also just acknowledging them as authors of the evaluation of the manuscript, getting them credit for either if it is recruitment or any other part of the process. And so we are trying to really make sure that there is an opportunity for all the community-based organizations and their members to be co-authors, but also presenters, and disseminate the work that they are heavily involved in.
What do you think is the timeline that is most meaningful for seeing an effect of a community violence intervention program? We know it's not like in a week, but is it a year? Is it 5 years? What is the timeline that you think is the best way to look at this?
Yeah, I think it varies depending on the community. I would say at the very least, giving people a year to measure the impact. And I think as a field, we could do a lot better of catching the longitudinal impact of these organizations. So how did participation in an org impact a young person's life 5, 10, 15 years down the line? I worked with this one agency that shared that a lot of the young people that they served are now working in a program as mentors. So like trying to capture that type of impact, because that's truly priceless, right? That they were impacted so much that they now want to give back to their community in this very specific way to prevent violence. So just trying to think of ways to capture that impact, and figuring out rigorous ways to capture that longitudinal impact can be a bit difficult. But I would say at least a year, because like we've mentioned, firearm violence is, there's so many different factors. It could be pretty complicated. And the long-term impacts of someone receiving services from a program could be felt for the rest of their lives.
Well, I know that the county and the state have funded some of these programs, and I'm sure you have encountered the pressure from the funders to sort of say, well, we really need to know this is program work and I need to do it by the end of this legislative session. Have you had that kind of pressure, and how have you countered that?
That's a really good question. I think typically funders do put that pressure on researchers and community organizations to reach these really large, long-term outcomes that are community-level driven, things like decreasing homicide rates in a very short amount of time. I think with our current funders, we've had a lot of flexibility in how we want to envision this evaluation. So having community members envision it themselves has allowed us to create more short-term tangible outcomes that we want to measure, looking at things that are very important on the individual level, things that Christian just mentioned, job securement, and getting a driver's license, things that are very, I think, pertinent to these community members, and measuring those impacts has been really helpful, and also, yeah, I think has reduced the pressure for community-based organizations and researchers.
Now, one of the things that in research we're taught in graduate school is that you should have control groups to really be able to tell the most rigorous way is an intervention working or not, and ideally even do a randomized controlled trial. So is that feasible in the intervention evaluations that you're doing?
I'm not going to say it's not feasible. I would just say it's very, very difficult, especially comparing communities to a different community. So, for example, Seattle is a lot different from Tacoma, which then is obviously right, way different than Spokane. So trying to think of creative ways to use research methodologies that are still rigorous, but then account for diversity and nuance, and also thinking about ways that we can capture the impact without relying on traditional research methods that might deny a specific young person or group access to these services that would be incredibly beneficial to them. I'm still trying to figure that out. But luckily, working with FIPRIP, there's a lot of brilliant people who are thinking creatively on how to address these specific issues in research, and not that control groups aren't important and not that they're not valid. It could just be really difficult to put into practice when we're talking about a very specific outcome and community issue, and really systemic countrywide issue like gun violence.
Well, anything else you want to bring up today? This is clearly very important work, and so thrilled that you all are doing this.
Yeah, I would just quickly add one, thank you for taking the time to interview us and shed light on a really important topic. I would just add that there's some incredible people who are doing this work, both in academia and outside academia. There's people who've been doing this work in the late 80s, or early 90s, before this was a hot topic. So I would love to shed more light on community-led work and grassroots organizations who have been doing this work for a very long time. And I also would just like to reiterate something that everyone said earlier, and that community violence is very, very complicated. But how do we capture like all of the positive impacts that these organizations are having on their community?
Thank you for having us, Fred.
Well, thank you.